Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Booth 61. Featuring movers and shakers on the Atlanta tech scene, organizations serving the tech market, and the inspired people who lead them. Now here's your host, Ricky Steele.
Welcome and thank you for visiting Booth 61. I am Ricky Steele, and I passionately serve as the Chief Development Officer for Hunter Technical Resources, Atlanta's premier IT staffing firm. We have a very exciting show with two gentlemen that I've enjoyed getting to know, one for quite some time and one brand new today. Before we get started, I want to take a minute to introduce my producer and my friend, Kevin Finn. Kevin is a master at the control board, and he's also a great host. He hosts a number of shows on Business Radio X, so every Wednesday I get a chance to spend time with my friend Kevin. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Ricky, surviving, so I've been looking forward to this show all day.
Well, we always have a good time together, and at any point, if you have come up with a question or you want to throw something in, please jump in because you are always welcome.
Will do, definitely. Thanks, Ricky.
Thanks for being here. Our goal for Booth 61 is to try to build community in the technology community and allow the rising tide to lift all the boats. And my guests today have been doing this for quite some time, not only in their day-to-day business life, but also in their passionate dedication to make the world a better place. And we're going to talk about both aspects of that today. Patrick Clements is the co-founder of Big Web Apps and a Georgia Bulldog. Hunker down, Harry Dogs, hunker down.
Woof, woof.
How are we going to look on Saturday?
I'm nervous, Ricky.
I'm nervous, too.
That secondary is a little spotty right now, but we just got to outscore them.
Well, that's 1 point more than they have as a winner. Brooks Robinson is someone I've known for quite a number of years, and I watched his talented leadership as a founder of See Beyond and as the chief marketing officer. I saw him do some pretty incredible things. Brooks left See Beyond a number of years ago and is now the founder of Springbot, and he was previously an entrepreneur in residence at the ATDC. He is a graduate of the University of Waterloo in Canada. Welcome to Booth 61, Patrick, and welcome to Booth 61, Brooks.
Thanks, Ricky. Great to be here.
Glad to have you guys. It's really an honor for me. To begin our time together, I'm going to do it just alphabetically, and that means Patrick gets to go first. To begin our time together, please share with our audience maybe a couple of 2 minutes overview on your personal background and how we got to this point, and then I want to ask you both some questions about your individual companies.
Okay, great. Originally, I'm from Kentucky. I went to school down in Georgia because I knew they had a big, good business program, and I didn't want to repeat high school all over again. So a lot of people know me. I have an identical twin brother, so we made the trip down to Athens. I fell in love with it. And at that point, met up with a guy named John Vickers, and our junior year, we started our first company, which was a managed service provider. We were doing a lot of network integration, developing wide area networks for a lot of businesses and communities to get up on the web. And then that was our first company. It's called Makaja ITS. And from there, we knew we wanted to get more into the software side of business. And back then, we said we were doing cloud-hosted software back when it wasn't even cool. We made ASP cool. So we started doing application development. The first solution we developed was a customer support solution to manage our contracts. And then from there, we liked the recurring business and launched a new company, which is still today in 2001, Big Web Apps. And again, our main focus is developing cloud-hosted support solutions for businesses to engage with their customers.
Well, thanks. Brooks?
Well, Ricky, great to be here with you. I think we go back over 10 years
at least
from when we started See Beyond. You know, I grew up in Toronto, Canada, so I'm getting ready for hockey season coming up, as you mentioned.
A.
Throw out a few A's and oots here and there. But, yeah, I grew up in Canada. I went to the University of Waterloo, which I now say is the Georgia Tech of Canada, and started off as an electrical engineer, realized I was not an engineer, that I was probably more of a marketing type. So started my career off in the consulting and venture capital world, and I was very fortunate to meet some of the other founders of See Beyond, and moved down to Atlanta in late 99, kind of early 2000, and spent 12 great years there with just some amazing people doing some great things, helping small businesses with their IT services. And then a couple years ago, I left wanting to do my next startup and found, again, some great entrepreneurs to partner with in Alan Nance and Joe Rieger. And we started Springbot a little over a year ago. And really, again, to help small businesses grow their business. And we're targeting the e-commerce space with big data analytics and marketing automation, trying to really bring these big business tools that Amazon and Target are using and bring them down to the small and medium e-commerce shops so that they have a fighting chance. It's a growing market. It's a $250 billion e-commerce market, and we want to make sure that the small, growing folks get the same advantages the big guys have.
Well, Alan's a real, and Joe as well, real legends in our community, been around for a long time, and what counts, and I've been fortunate, and as Hunter Technical Resources has, to actually serve the company from time to time, and so they've been a client, and so I'm very familiar, and that's a bright guy to have on your team.
High energy, real smart guys, and we're fortunate to also have a great board of directors as well as advisors. It's just it's a great part of the community to come together to help out Springbot.
Well, let's. I want to throw out a couple of questions for both of you guys, and then I want to maybe divide into a little bit of a more deeper dive into your individual companies. But and I know in talking with Patrick, we've got two ways to go. Big Web Apps is the company that you began and is still going well today, and you've got a new company, Sherpa Desk, which is kind of a spin out. And you're getting that off the ground and getting some traction and customers. So you can answer this from either or both areas. And, of course, with Springbot, what do you deliver to your customers and what is the unique value proposition that you're bringing to the market today? And we'll start with Brooks since we gave Patrick the first shot earlier.
All right. Well, it's it starts with working with e-commerce shops that use a shopping cart platform called Magento. Magento is owned by it's an eBay company, and we're a gold partner of Magento. And so what we do is we go beyond just their shopping cart and bring data analytics and marketing automation. So we make the tools that these small e-commerce shops need to grow their business, we make it easy and simple for them to integrate. So those might be everything from MailChimp for email marketing to Twitter and Facebook, but also getting demographic data about their customers so that those can be injected into their marketing tools. And so it's a simple software as a service offering. They get a great dashboard that really recommends the marketing actions that are going to make them more money with a much better ROI.
So I'm going to be on a site and I'm going to go to another site. I'm going to have looked at a shirt or perhaps a fishing rod, and I'm going to get a chance to learn more about that at another place?
Absolutely. That's a technology called retargeting. That's one of the features that the Springbot platform provides. That specific feature you talked about is called Liquid Ads. And Liquid Ads is generally a feature that is only available to large enterprises. That's where you see the blue shirt on the shopping cart site, but then you go to CNN or New York Times, and what do you see? The blue shirt followed by maybe the red or the yellow shirt. If you're a small or medium e-commerce shop, how do you get to take advantage of those services? Springbot's there to help you with that.
Rather than having an ad perhaps for Macy's or J. Crew's or whatever the case might be, having the actual shirt would have to drive up the traffic and the conversion, wouldn't it?
We're seeing with our growing list of customers, we're seeing great returns on investment, higher traffic rates, sometimes as many as 4 or 5 times the traffic they were seeing, as well as the average order value. So the average amount that someone spends when they come to the shopping, to the e-commerce store, we're seeing those increase by 20 or 30% because you're getting a more personalized message. So when one of our customers is sending an email marketing newsletter to their customer list, they're sending shirts and bow ties, say, to the men in the group, and dresses and maybe sunglasses or necklaces to women so that they're not mixing messages and they're getting a very targeted, personalized message to their customers.
That had to be golden, I would think.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, Patrick, tell me a little bit about what you're delivering to your customers.
So with you mentioned earlier that we just launched a new initiative called Sherpa Desk. And basically what Sherpa Desk is, it's a repurposing of about 10 years of know-how and industry experience, and what we've baked it down into, very similar to Springbot, is making something accessible to the small and medium-sized businesses. And our target vertical right now, as we launch this new solution, is for IT management, desktop break-fix guys, people that need to support their customers. And so what the platform is, it allows you to connect with your customers either through a mobile device, through email, or through a web platform, or even if you're taking phone calls, we integrate into phone tracking systems. But it allows you to track your customer request, and what we call is receive, respond, because respond is the most important part of any type of sport. The ability to respond quickly wherever you are, again, through mobile or through email, and then be able to react, be able to provide some type of service, and then ultimately report, see what type of services you are providing, how do we be more proactive, and get some type of analytical layer of what type of service you are providing to your customers so that you can go to the end of the day and say, hey, you know, our call resolution has improved by 15 minutes on first level of resolution, or, you know, we're supporting these types of assets, and we think it's time to probably recycle out these types of assets because the support has gotten too expensive. So again, it gives you visibility as well as it allows your allows you to engage with your end customers.
That's a huge issue facing anybody that does business, well, B2B or B2C, and we all have stories of that phone call to hell that. We pulled out all of our hair trying to get a solution to a problem we have, and you're making that more expeditious and run a lot more smoothly.
That's exactly right, Ricky. It gives you some process, because basically what you're doing, you're training your customers that there is a established process for us to engage with our customers. It can even be the simple fact is like, I've got a problem and I need somebody to tell that and communicate that to. So they're going to have a record, an email record with a support ticket, and you can even apply like a service level agreement where they expect a response time in an hour and expect resolution within 2 days. That right there does more for your customer support satisfaction than 90% of what you're doing. It's just allowing them to voice their concern and then be able to have some kind of understanding of where they're going to get it resolved. And so that's what we're providing. And then on the from a customer-facing standpoint, but from an analytics standpoint, we're allowing you to be able to authenticate your service. You can say, oh, okay, well, you know, we went to a trade show the other day, and we're standing in a booth, and we were talking to one of our customers, and their service provider came up and says, hey, you know, we hadn't seen you in a while. Where have you been? And she goes, well, let me show you. In our booth, we had Wi-Fi access. She pulled up her her Sherpa Desk instance and showed the analytics and says, well, this provider is giving me support within 30 minutes and you're giving me support within about 2 days. So where should I be going to do my support? Of course, you could hear a pin drop and it was a little uncomfortable because it was in our booth, but we gave her the analytics to see what service provider was providing the best support for her. So we enjoy that. And the point with Sherpa Desk is it allows small, medium-sized businesses access to this tool versus going with a more expensive program or platform.
Let me follow up this question to both of you. I know as executives, you both have track record of very high customer satisfaction, and you've had high retention rates and great customer stickiness. How do you achieve customer delight, and what are some of the necessary ingredients to maintaining these levels, which, you know, customer's number one in all of our businesses, and yet we have not figured out what number two is because that's where we seem to spend most of our time.
I'll go ahead and start because that's kind of our forte. That's what we really base a lot of our solution around. And the first one is just being able to respond to your customer, letting them know they have a voice, giving them an access to engage with you. Even to the effect of our solution actually supports the ability to do self-service, be able to provide a level of support. Let them know that there is access to some service. That's number one. I mean, that should be like ground 101 as far as like entering the sport game. But internally, and this is going to sound kind of whoa, but being able to tell your customer no, because a lot of times what they really want is not really what they need. And so being able to have that understanding and say, okay, well, we understand what you're saying, but, you know, let's look at it a different route. And so being able to tell them, no, you don't really need that feature because ultimately it's going to bloat your system. You're going to get features and functionalities. And let us show you the way, the proper way to implement a proper support process and a proper engagement process. So what we'd like to say is like being able and comfortable enough to tell your customer no is one of probably the biggest customer support things you can actually do with your customers.
Brooks?
I think it starts with the types of customers that we have. We have really cool customers. They're e-commerce stores. They're growing. They're having fun with their business. And so that makes it a joy to work with them. And from that, we start pulling out what features they want. They're really heavily involved in our roadmap, which also ties to our culture. I think Joe Rieger, our CTO, is one of the top technical guys that I've seen that really loves to get in and do customer discovery. He loves to hear from the customers, and he's on every single customer call he can possibly be on. And I think that then translates into what's our team working on. And so when a customer does have an issue or they have an idea, that's gold to us, and we want to make sure that we tackle that. I think also starts the foundational with the business. We started the business through a program at Georgia Tech called Flashpoint, and they run you through this great rigorous process of customer discovery. And through that process, we talked to over 200 e-commerce stores before we even started developing the product. And with that, really, then that became, it just wasn't, you know, Alan, Joe, and my idea. It was really this culmination of what these small e-commerce shops really wanted. They basically gave us their frustration. Their frustration was there's way too many marketing tools. You know, we're trying to keep up with Amazon, and I have to understand my return on investment. My time is precious. My money's precious. I need help understanding with all this mass of different marketing tools. And so we took that foundation, and that really helped build the business.
I think that's a key. I just want to follow up what he was saying there, is that don't try to be the end-all, be-all solution for everybody. Try to be the perfect solution for your customers, for your target niche. And that's what we've tried to see, because in our space, it's pretty crowded. But where we want to differentiate ourselves is we want to provide customer support and billing solution for our customers. We want it to be that specific and that granular, I guess, for our target market. We like to say we're putting blinders on and only wanting to really capture this IT managed service market, because jumping outside and going to different markets, it can almost isolate your target market. So what we really do is basically what Brooks was saying is try to really cater towards our customer, because that's where we know we can win, and that's where we're getting success out of it.
Something that's near and dear to my heart is community service. Having grown up with a legacy with my folks and been with companies that have been involved in this forever, I know that both of you, I've known Brooks for a long time and his background, but I know both of you guys have been involved in philanthropic efforts. Tell us a little bit about the organizations you're involved in and why you're actively involved in these groups, because you're both young, you're both entrepreneurs, and I think that this is something that should be part of the cultural aspect of every entrepreneur, every human being for that matter, but certainly entrepreneurs. If you're going to participate in a community, you got to be part of that community. So what are the organizations that you're individually, and start with Brooks, and then we'll work our way back.
Yeah, well, Ricky, as you know, very involved in the community. I think that's foundational kind of in my career. I was very fortunate to work with Jim Geiger at CBeyond, who instilled that in all of us, not just the executive team, but through the entire organization. I've tried to carry that over to Springbot as well. Jim had a saying that I used to always just love. He said, and this is as I was moving from being a Canadian citizen to American citizen, and he used to always say, if you're going to be in this community, be more than just a taxpayer, be a citizen. And I think that really instills in me that necessary, if you're going to work in a community, you live in a community, you've got to give back to the community. So my wife and I are heavily involved in a number of organizations. The Edge Connection, that helps women start small businesses. I've been working with them for over 10 years. Over the past 5 or so years, my wife and I, my wife's on the board of, and I'm on the advisory board of Kate's Club. They help children and teens who deal with the grieving process, having lost a parent or sibling. And they just do tremendous things. They have a camp for these kids, and they have a clubhouse that we go to, and it's just a tremendous, tremendous organization. And then from a networking standpoint, I've been involved with the Entrepreneurs Organization for over 5 years, and it's just a great organization as well that helps take entrepreneurs from the seed of their business all the way to some great success stories like Spanx and Casemate and, you know, Kevin Rathman's Steak. And so there's just it's a great organization to be a part of, a big global organization. So that's kind of where we spend our time.
Well, I originally started my first, giving back to the community initiative on a personal note. One of my lifelong friends that I grew up with contracted testicular cancer at a pretty young age, and it this is one of my friends that I was almost a brother to me. We shared the crib together. And I knew we wanted to do something. I knew how to do something as a release, you know, feeling like I'm doing something. And me and my brother and a couple of us started an organization called Friends for Cures. And we created a 501c3. And that first year, it was built around raising money for testicular cancer. And I think that year we raised somewhere around the neighborhood of 20 grand. And what we did was we threw in a street party, a street festival called Draft on Taft. It's right there across from Piedmont Park. It's built around three live bands, Ricky. So if you're ever interested, you ought to stop by. It's a good time. And then food and of course, libations for those that are interested in drinking and watching music. And so that it's we just had our 13th year throwing that festival, and now we've raised somewhere in the neighborhood of about $300,000 to local charities. And our our charter is built around serving local Atlanta kid targeted industries, nonprofits. So we've donated money to Bert's Big Adventure. I think we've donated somewhere in the neighborhood of about 70 grand. The latest venture, which I'm also highly involved in, is Gigi's Playhouse. My little nephew is 2 years old. He's the coolest little kid, and he was born with Down syndrome, and so I'm highly involved in that organization. And this year we were able to throw Draft on Taft and for Gigi's Playhouse. So those two initiatives allow me to feel like a release, getting out of just the day-to-day grind and seriousness of sometimes businesses can get, and allow you to, I guess, complete that other rock in your life and be able to give back to a community that's important to you and me.
Even if you're not a biblically based person, the Bible verse that says it's better to give than to receive is as true whether you believe the other message of the Bible or not. And I think that is a great word, the release, the joy that you get from helping another human being is as good as it gets. It's like birthing your own company, birthing your own baby, whatever the case might be. But when you're birthing an ideal, and I did as part of my research on this show today, spent some time on your Facebook page, and I saw a number of photographs from the draft event, and it looked like everyone was having a pretty good time.
It's a pretty good time. I'm not going to – it's a lot of work, but you know, we start planning it 7 months out in advance. We get anywhere between 3,000, 3,500 people come down, have a open street festival party. And it's just, all in all, it's a really good time. And what's personal to me, and we were discussing this before the show started, is it gives us an opportunity to expose some local Atlanta bands that you usually don't, you know, hear of, and they usually play in garages, but they're good. So we'll go vet them out and give them some exposure in front of a pretty decent crowd. I've got to give a plug to one of our bands this year, which was Bronze Radio Return. I think you're going to see these guys actually perform in bigger venues moving in the future, because they were really a phenomenal band. And whatever we paid for them this year, we were not going to be able to afford them again next year.
That's great. That's great. I know both of you, you know, are in Atlanta, Georgia. You either co-founded your organization or you started it here in Springbok situation. Why do you believe personally Georgia is a great place, in Atlanta particularly, for a startup business, specifically technology startup companies?
Well, you know, having been an entrepreneur in residence at the ATDC and the commitment that Georgia Tech has to entrepreneurship, it was why we started Springbok at the ATDC. It's a growing community. What David Cummings and group of doing up with the Atlanta Tech Village is amazing. What's going on at Hypopotamus just in the Biltmore is terrific. And so I think that for those folks that maybe are working in technology but don't spend a lot of time in the startup community, which is frankly where I was 3 or 4 years ago, it is a really vibrant community that needs more attention, needs more help. You know, city officials are helping where they can, but the more they can do would be great. AT&T just opened up the Foundry. Actually, it happens to be right below the Springbok office, so we've heard all that construction going on for the past few months. But it's great to see their commitment to Tech Square. And we were talking earlier, that Starbucks at 5th and Spring, if you're you know, looking to get connected, just go hang out there, and I'm sure I'll be over there at least once a day. So I think many people don't realize how much is going on, how much support there is. I mentioned the Flashpoint program at Georgia Tech. If you've got an idea and you want to kind of turn it into a business, I highly encourage you to look at Flashpoint. ATDC has lots of lunch and learn opportunities. It seems like there's an event every night at the Tech Village. And, you know, I think that maybe some of this isn't on the radar screen nationally, but I think more and more Atlanta will be seen as a startup community. For us specifically at Springbot, we're really encouraged by what we're seeing in marketing automation companies, you know, with Pardot and Silverpop, the acquisitions, obviously, of Pardot and Vitru. I mean, it's just a great community that I think more and more people need to be involved in.
Yeah, I'm pretty much going to echo a lot of what Brooks was saying. Is Atlanta is the hub of the South. It's the most geographically centralized city in the South. So we're going to be a conduit for a lot of these universities. And Georgia Tech is one of the greatest resources that we have. We tap into it for a lot of internships. So there's just that location of Atlanta and the ability to draw from these universities. But then you look at one of the biggest things that you can't get away from is the standard of living. What you can live here in Atlanta, Georgia, you would be in a shoebox in San Francisco, New York, in Boston. So you're afforded a nicer lifestyle being in the South where it's warm, the people are friendly, the food's good.
Never rains.
It's not in Atlanta. So it's the standard of living, the filtering in from Georgia Tech, and then again, what I feel we could help improve, and I think a lot of these successful entrepreneurs are doing, is creating this ecosystem. It's there. I can feel it. You can see a buzz, and it just needs. It's like we got to keep feeding the beast, and things that are going on again at Hippopotamus and at ATDC, and then especially ATV. We want to be involved in the ATV system, so we're going to get some desks up there and get part of that ecosystem. But I think as far as tech centers in this part of the country, I don't think you can do better than Atlanta.
And what's finally occurred in the last year and a half, 2 years, having been in this space for quite some time, the city and the state and the chamber have now got it. They now understand where your granddaddy's chamber or my chamber was more about great companies, Coca-Cola, UPS, Delta, but they really didn't get granular down to the startup community. That's different today. Invest Atlanta just created the startup blog, and they're doing a lot of exciting work. They've got a fund now that they're going to be investing in seed stage opportunities. So I think that it's almost a perfect storm in Atlanta, Georgia today to start a business or to become part of an entrepreneurial business.
Yeah, and to back you up on that, one of the greatest piece of legislations I've seen come down the pipe in 10 years was the Angel Tax Credit. I was like, where has that been? It gives people with money the opportunity to invest into these companies with some tax credits.
Well, this is something that we've been talking about in Atlanta for 15 years. When I was at PricewaterhouseCoopers 15 years ago, we were talking about that. The perfect storm has come, and the things that John Yates was doing 15, 20 years ago and Sig Mosley, now you've got the next generation, the Tom Noonans, the David Cummings, you guys – really smart people that are getting together with the older institutional crowd and the city and the state to really, I mean, you know, I loved the movie The Perfect Storm. I didn't like the way it ended so much, but I think that we have created a perfect storm in Atlanta for the technology community, and it's a great time as a native Atlantan, one of the few that was actually born within the city limits. I love what I'm seeing you guys do. Congratulations.
Thanks. I think it's almost it's been going on for some time, obviously. Great history here. If you look at from an ATDC perspective, you can go back to Mindspring and trace the roots there. I think that what's also great, though, is that if you look at the people that are shaping the next phase of entrepreneurship here in Atlanta, that they're not resting on their laurels. So Mike Hirsch, who just joined as the new director for
great
the
guy.
ATDC, he's got great ideas. And so I think that, well, we mentioned the angel credit. There's a lot more to be done. And I think that it's getting people that have been successful, like David, and get him like he's doing great things. Let's get more of those folks, and I think we will. I think putting that money back into use so we can get more startups rolling and get more programs so that we can be on the – we've got a ways to go to compete with San Francisco and New York and Boston. But as Patrick said, lifestyle-wise, you know, we have a much better living here, cost of living here. But I still think we have a long way to go, and I think that we have the right people leading us down that path, and we just need more people involved.
And we'll always see the national football champion from the Southeast. That is a guarantee by God, I believe.
We just need a hockey team back in Atlanta again. Let's start. This could be the whole show, right?
That's true. I want to maybe break down, and I'm going to give both of you an opportunity to talk about your companies, the website, and how people get more information. But I want to drill down into each of your companies for about, 5 or 6 minutes apiece. So, again, alphabetically, Patrick, you get the nod. We can talk about big web apps or certainly talk about Sherpa. So technology is constantly evolving, and those who aren't able to meet the changes are left behind. How have you had to pivot your company since you first started Big Web Apps in 2001?
Well, that's exactly what we've been going – that's the process we've been going through pretty much the last 18 months to 2 years. We started Big Web Apps in 2001. Again, the majority of Big Web App services was developing a web-based customer support solution, help desk application for the mid-tier market, government, municipalities, higher education. And through 10 years, we developed a very bloated, almost mid-tier to enterprise-level solution and had a lot of bells and whistles, a lot of features and functionalities. But once we kind of stood back, you know, we were developing ASP when ASP wasn't cool. Now it's called software as a service. Now it's cloud hosted. But we've been in this game for a long time. But one thing that we failed to realize is that even though we are an application that is on the web, we weren't part of the web. We weren't what is really the pure value of being a web-based application, and that is being able to integrate into third-party solutions, adapting social media strategies. And so we had to take a pivot and say, okay, even though we were born in 2001, we're a dinosaur. We're an old company on the web. And so we had to reinvent ourselves and really move it more towards what's called a service-oriented architecture, being able to be very niche play as far as what we're going to do well, and then don't try to develop the bells and whistles. Just integrate into, say, an accounting package or a project management system. We just finished our integration to FreshBooks, which is one of the leading small business accounting software solutions on the web. So the pivot was being able to be a part of the web, being able to share data across multiple platforms and have it work seamlessly for your customers so that it's not a painful process. We're not talking about SAP integration. We're talking about simple hooks into a new solution, and then now your billing information is prevalent in our system as well as theirs. So it's been a challenge, and I know a lot of other companies are actually trying to repurpose their systems as well, but we're pretty excited about what we've done here in 2013.
This is certainly a big change for you and for your company after a little over 10 years. This change would lead me to believe there's other changes and things that are going to be happening soon as a new round of funding, outside funding. You're looking for money to take this whole thing to the next level?
Yeah, that's what we were just talking about before the radio show. We're starting to dip our toe into the investment capital arena. We are an organically funded company, and we operate on cash flows. But to fully scale this business, and it is a large market, Forrester just came out with a study in 2013. Now, this is a big number, but worldwide, IT spending is $2.1 trillion. Now, our piece of that pie is where we kind of fit in that spending is about $540 billion worldwide, and that includes managed service providing software, IT-based solutions. And so there is a large market. So for us to be able to really capitalize and scale this business, we're going to need some growth partners. We're going to need some growth capital. So that's really what we're experimenting with now. We're onboarding customers. We're tracking our metrics. We're seeing what it takes to fill the funnel and what comes if you put it XM, what comes out at Y, and then be able to put that story together to some strategic partners that's going to help us scale this business.
I think as we talked earlier, strategic being the key word, there's more money out there today than there has been in a long time, yet you really probably are more looking for that strategic partner that does have some money but can be a door opener and a coach and an advisor and everything else for you.
Yeah, that's what we say internally is like, don't chase dumb money. Because it really doesn't do us any good if you get an exec with a check or if you get somebody that's in farming and seed and they give you $3 million. That's not going to help us at all. Actually, it's going to probably pollute our board and make everybody pretty much grumpy at the end of the day. No, we're looking for a partner that understands our business and understands our market, and that's going to help us, I hate to use the cliche, but I'm going to drop it, take us to the next level.
What's the true value of cloud-hosted solutions? I know there's a difference than having a solution that's web-enabled versus being truly part of the web, as you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That would, I guess, include API integration to third-party solutions, social media integrations, as you mentioned, ease of administration and setup, cost-effectiveness. Kind of just help me wrap my non-technology brain around all that.
Well, Brooks was saying this earlier. Small businesses, they have a lot of solutions. They have an accounting package. They have to have maybe a customer support system. Maybe they have a project management system. Maybe they have an asset tracking system. So they have all these different services. Well, the power of the web allows you to a true cloud-hosted solution allows you to integrate these packages seamlessly. We were talking, there's even business models built around integrating Kevi, which is a Venture Atlanta. They built their business model around integrating these solutions, these web-based solutions. So what we want to do is we want to be really good at what we do well, which is customer support, time and billing. And then for our customers, be able to provide the ability to transfer data into their other business services, whether it be, again, accounting package or project management system like Basecamp. That, to us, is what we feel is not just being on the web, but being a part of the web. And then, again, integrating social media, your Twitter feeds, your Facebook posts, if you include Pinterest as far as tracking pictures and interest. So does that answer your question?
That helps a lot.
Okay.
Big web apps, of course, recently launched Sherpa Desk, which we've been talking to you a little bit about for the last 15, 20 minutes. Tell us a little bit about the software as a service offering and how it delivers on the promise to get customers engaged that maybe is unique from what anybody else is doing at this point.
Okay. Well, first of all, we give you a lot of different avenues to get your customers in touch with you. Our software comes with a customer support portal that you can customize and brand it to make it look just like your site. You can create an email address, support@ rickysteele.com, and it'll create a support ticket for you. You can have a mobile device and send in service requests through the mobile app. So we give a lot of different avenues for you to interact with your customers. So that's just the receive part but responding just on from a technician standpoint or from an agent standpoint, I can get notified anywhere. As long as I have access to the internet or access to my email, I can get notified and respond quickly to the customer. And that's what 90% of customer satisfaction is getting that response quickly, letting them know. I can't tell you how long or how many times we received feedback saying, oh, thanks for the quick response. I didn't expect you guys to respond so quickly, because we have our system set in place that these type of issues get routed to this service professional, these types of issues get routed to this service professional. So our system allows you to support your customers based on the type of issue, where they're located, who they are, and it gets it routed to the correct person to resolve it quickly. So that's the part of the customer engagement that we really focus on, is that receiving and responding. But ultimately, we want to take it a step further and say, okay, now that we know how we're interacting with our customers, how can we be proactive to reduce these types of requests in the future? Because really, almost having a quiet customer is probably not a good thing because you don't know what they're thinking. But being able to have them engage and then be able to say, okay, well, we're getting these types of service requests. What can we do to, you know, limit them? Can we create a KB article? Can we improve the use of our platform? Can we have onboard help tools? So you can be proactive. You can do analytics and be proactive. So it's that full cycle from initial response to what are we going to do to resolve that?
Well, like we talked earlier, the philanthropy, no greater joy or feeling. I think there's no greater joy or feeling also than exceeding your customers' expectations.
Love it.
They're expecting something to happen at some time in the future, and you exceed that and meet it that much quicker. That's about as good as it gets in business, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's the wow factor. For sure. Anytime you're providing service that is of value and they can see that you mean I'm paying this and I'm getting this type of value, they're customers for life.
No question about it. You've grown the big business over the last 11 years to 200 clients with over 100,000 users, 43 states and 9 countries. What's the key to growing a company that size while still maintaining the high retention rate you've been very fortunate to maintain?
Well, I guess it gets back to what Brooke says. We really appreciate our customers. We have relationships with these people. Sometimes we will send them birthday cards. We know when they're having kids. So it keeps a small business. The scalability is not there, but in the long run, it's allowed us to have very solid, firm customers. Even when our competitors come knocking on the door, they don't listen to them. They don't change over. It's allowed us to have year over year about a 95% retention rate on renewal, and that's something that we're really proud of.
That's fantastic. I have a lot better understanding today, and I know the listening audience does. So, thank you very much for that, Patrick. Brooks, I know you didn't go to sleep over there because I was watching you pay attention. You were making notes all along.
I sure was.
That was good. Well, as you mentioned earlier, you successfully co-founded CBeyond and led them to great heights. What was your motivation in creating SpringBot? Because you were the entrepreneur in residence at ATDC, probably seeing lots of different companies and opportunities, but you created SpringBot. What's behind that?
Well, you know, like you said, I saw a lot of great businesses from a lot of different spaces. And I think what piqued my interest in SpringBot was that the idea really was to work with small businesses to help them grow. That's really where we started. Like I mentioned, I spent 12 years talking to small businesses, helping them with their IT services. And one of the biggest challenges they'd always said to me is, this is great, but I need some help with my top line. Can you help me grow that? And so I thought, whatever I do next, I'm going to help them do that. And so the biggest challenge in growing your business, and regardless whether you're an e-commerce business or any business and you're doing marketing, is are you really getting your bang for your buck? How do you know which marketing's truly working? You put up a billboard, you send out an email, you do an ad. Do you really know how much revenue you drove from that marketing action? And so when we started the business, we said, we're going to help these small e-commerce shops. When they take a marketing action, they're going to know how much revenue they captured. And then more importantly, take that data that we collect with the traffic that comes to the store, with the types of customers and what they bought, and make sure we capture that and continue analyzing it so we get smarter and smarter. And that's really the big data analytics part of SpringBot that underlies this really simple marketing automation dashboard. So many of our early customers said to us in our kind of our customer discovery phase, they said, look, there's just way too many tools. And I know hidden in the data in my e-commerce store, there's a gem in here. There's a gem that's going to get me higher traffic, higher conversion, higher average order value. And if I can uncover that, I think my business can grow. The challenge is these people aren't data scientists, right? They're not building algorithms to search through all this data. And that's really where SpringBot comes in. And it was actually interesting when we first started talking to folks about this idea, many of them and actually talked about this challenge, but one of them actually said, I just wish I had a bunch of robots that could do this for me. Right? I wish I had a bunch of robots that could do all the tweets and Facebook posts and analyze what's working and what's not working and read the charts and graphs. And we were actually sitting at that Starbucks at 5th and Spring, and I said, we're on Spring Street, and we're doing marketing robotics, so therefore we're SpringBot. And we kind of coined the term marketing robotics, and we're having a lot of fun with it. If you go to the SpringBot website, springbot.com, you'll see our little robot that'll help you kind of grow your store, and that's what we're up to.
Well, that's a great beginning. I love that SpringBot. How you came up with that name, that's pretty fantastic. I know you recently, I read it because Irvosh shared this great news in the Business Chronicle recently, that you raised $3 million from two really venture capital firms and funds that that do a lot of early stage investing, Total Technology Ventures and Tech Operators. I think in both those situations, you not only had you received money, but you received smart money. I know folks with both those firms, and I was just in Columbus this last 2 days with Sean Banks from Total Technology Ventures at the Jim Blanchard Leadership Forum. What is it about Springbot you believe that caught the investors' attention, and how does Springbot plan to invest this new capital as you grow your business?
Well, I think Patrick
Two-part question.
I'll try to remember both of them. I think Patrick mentioned earlier, I think as much as it's difficult to raise capital in any environment, especially in this environment, we were very fortunate to do that and thank all those involved helping us get there, not just within the company but the community. But equally, I think it wasn't just about raising the money. It was actually interviewing our future partners. And if I think through the number of discussions we had over the past year with potential investors, I think we couldn't be happier with the group we have. You know, we've got Dave Gould and Glenn McGonigal from Tech Operators. They're heavily involved in the business, and we're just excited to have them. And then Mark Johnson and Sean Banks, as you mentioned, from TTV Capital, as well as someone you didn't mention, Tom Hawkins with Forte Ventures, is also an investor, as well as a long list of seed investors that have helped us get to that point in time. I think what they saw is a great team to build around. We're obviously in a great space. E-commerce is growing at 20% a year. Software as a service, big data, marketing automation. I once had someone, challenge me that we just picked the four hottest areas and decided to build a business around it. But truly, it was about helping these small businesses. But I think they see this opportunity to take the start of a great growing list of customers, providing value to these customers, and really, really expand it.
Well, I'm not a marketing genius like you, but I think taking the four best businesses and working something around it might make sense.
It might make sense. Well, you know, it's got to start with a need, right? If there's not a customer need, if it's a problem, kind of a solution looking for a problem to solve, then that's a bit of a challenge. But I think we're onto something here.
Well, Atlanta's definitely a growing cluster of digital marketing technology players, including some real recent home runs we've had with Pardot, and we've mentioned a number of times, and Silverpop. I would think that'd be helpful for Springbot to be here in a city which has already got that sort of successful track record.
Yeah, it's helped us tremendously with both partnerships, but also on the recruiting side. I think marketing automation is a hot area. People realize the success, and maybe some people missed out on the Vitru train or the Pardot train, and they want to jump on the Springbot train. So I think that's helped us tremendously. But it's also given us a great number of advisors. David Cummings was heavily involved in the Flashpoint program. Helped us out tremendously. Reggie Bradford has helped us, give us great advice. Alan Nance, as you know, is a board member, great advice. So I think if we didn't have that ecosystem around us, I think we'd be it'd be a greater challenge for us.
You've already attracted a number of national customers and many well-known local e-commerce customers like Cook's Warehouse and Country Club Prep. Share with us the impact you're having on these businesses, in addition to what you've already shared about the pinpointing of their target ads.
Yeah, I think one of the first things we do is that we give them greater confidence that the marketing actions they're going to take are actually going to generate revenue, and that we can track that revenue from those actions. So we're seeing just the intensity of their marketing increase. So by doing more marketing, they're actually driving more traffic. We're seeing in some cases 2 to 3, as high as 4 or 5 times the traffic once they start using Springbot, because they're taking better actions. And then we're seeing average order values up 20 or 30%. We're seeing repeat customers because now people are getting a better customer experience when they come to the store, online stores. So great, all metrics driven. It's great with the Springbot service starting at $199 a month. Just a few orders from new orders for a store in a month can pay for the Springbot service itself.
Well, you mentioned earlier you partnered with Magento, an eBay company. Share with us a little of the details of that partnership. And another two-part question, how do you plan to expand your sales and marketing efforts through additional partnerships with other companies, perhaps like Magento or others?
Well, Magento is, as you mentioned, an eBay company. They are the fastest growing, I'd say the best online shopping cart for a small business. So if anyone out there is thinking about starting an online business, I strongly recommend you look at Magento. They have 150,000 online stores around the world, and we've partnered with them. We're a gold partner. We are heavily involved with their development group as well as their marketing group, and I think we've got some great hooks into the Magento ecosystem. So anyone out there that's a Magento store and wants to learn more, maybe we can help with your store. We'd love to talk to you. On the distribution side, we have a direct sales organization, consultants that help get customers up and running. But we also value the system integrators, those that go and do the web development for a Magento store or those that host a Magento store, so the hosting community. So I think as we move along our business, we'll be expanding beyond and adding more and more channels for those that influence the Magento community as well.
What does the future hold for Springbot, Brooks?
Great things, great things. You know, I think we've got a great ecosystem around us. We're continuing to grow the business. I think we want to continue to give back to the community through the nonprofit avenues we've talked about. But we're just continuing to expand the business, do good things for the folks that trusted us with their money. You know, we've got to make a good return for them and, you know, continue to delight our customers and wow them.
Well, I'm excited for both you gentlemen, and I am amazed that I just stuck my eye over to the left to the clock and realized that we have gone 50 minutes and could go another 50 minutes because there's a number of questions I'd like to ask, and unfortunately we're not going to be able to get to that. So what I want you to do is maybe both of you give me the websites of the companies so that individuals can go and get additional information if there's white papers or other thing they could learn more about your company. And then what is the best way for someone to contact you personally if they either have an idea or wanted to be a business partner or perhaps in Patrick's situation, maybe want to become an investor or know somebody that may want to become an investor. So I guess we'll go back to Patrick and thumbnail, best way to get in contact with you, best way to find more information about either of the companies.
Okay. The main website that we're pitching now is Sherpa Desk. So you can go to www.sherpadesk.com.
Sherpa Desk, D-E-S-K dot com.
Sherpa, S-H-E-R-P-A-D-E-S-K dot com. Okay. Like the people, Sergey Norgay, who takes you to the top of the Himalayas. That's us. And you can get in touch with me easy enough, patrick@sherpadesk.com.
That's great, and the website would give as much detailed information as you could hope.
Yeah, so on the website, you can go in, and the application is delivered on what we call, or it's called the freemium model. So you can get set up. First, technician's free. Access to the entire application is free. It allows you to explore it, get it set up, and then if it's something that you want to grow into, once you start exceeding some of the threshold limits, then it'll ask you to put in a credit card and using the service.
Brooks.
All right. Springbot. So www.springbot.com. That's the word spring and then bot.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @springbot. And then if you want to get in touch with me personally, it's brobinson@springbot.com.
And I know you both have Twitter accounts, and I've seen some of you on Facebook and different ways to connect. So if I were you in listening audience, I'd get to know these two guys because I think they've got two companies that are going to go places, and they're going to be companies that my guest in a year will be using as an example as we use David and Pardot and other people and Silver Pop and others as examples today. You're going to be the companies that people are going to be looking to a year from now as some of the great success stories in Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, that's the plan, Ricky.
Thank you all very much for being here. It's been a great blessing for me.
Thanks, Ricky. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
This is Ricky Steele, and I've finished my cup of coffee in Booth 61. I hope you'll come back and join me for a fresh cup next Wednesday or by listening to any of our past shows anytime at Booth 61 with Ricky Steele. I always like to close our time together by sharing hopefully a blessing for you, your family, and your business. The blessing comes from the Book of Numbers. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for dropping by and join us next week for a fresh cup in Booth 61.